Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fabulous. Just got back from the farm. We made the biggest compost pile we've ever made.
Thanks to JG, right?
Well, no, she wasn't even involved. It was just us little
wow.
farm helpers. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Very impressive. But we'd had a pretty big gang, so that was good. We got a couple of volunteer farm hands and then our regular crew, and yeah, we got it done. It was super fun.
I'm sure I'll see a picture of it in the next vlog.
Well, you know, we're kind of even we're getting to the point of, you know, we've already taken a few thousand pictures of that, so maybe not. But
okay,
yeah.
But I can imagine it, so that's good.
You can imagine it at this point, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have an announcement here.
All right.
Virtual meditation groups allow practitioners to sit virtually with Sangha for 30 minutes daily and experience presence through meditation. For a full schedule of the groups and for all other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
You know, in the year long this morning, somebody did the most wonderful testimonial for meditation, you know, crediting meditation with her ability to really be here and be present and that sort of thing. And so that's good to help people remember that there are all kinds of times, right, days and times for people to join in with that virtual meditation and not have to sit alone.
Yes, yes. And to have a schedule to align oneself to seems valuable.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is fabulous. So let's get started.
Let's get started.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let me try this again. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Gabriel.
Hello, Gabriel.
Hello, Sherry. I'm so happy to hear you're having fun at the farm.
Oh, it's almost obscene the amount of fun it is.
Is it hard to get away from there and come talk to us?
It's not hard. That's not hard. But I was actually the schedule, because we have people here all the time, especially during this month, and you know, every day gets to be a bit much, so we've laid out the schedule, and tomorrow is supposed to be my day off, and I realize I can't do that. I have to go to the farm. So yeah, no, not to come back and talk to you folks, but for any other reason. Yeah.
What's a day off anyway?
That's right. Yeah, well, a day off is when you take care of all of the things that you don't take care of because you're doing something else, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about something that through the years I've heard you, Ashwini, and others talking about, and it's one of those things that has always kind of, I've heard it and it sits there in the back of my head, and I get curious about it, and I never really bring it to the front. And that's about being made religious by
uh-huh.
experiences. I'm just
mm-hmm.
curious about this because, you know, religion is very loaded. But I like the word religion for whatever reason. I like what it means, and I just wanted to hear what you have to say about that and what you actually mean when you talk about that, because I'm not really sure, but I intuit some things. So
Yeah. Well, you want to say what you intuit, or you want me to go first?
I want you to go first because, I want you to go
okay.
first.
Okay. So have you ever had an experience that sort of it was so miraculous, so amazing, so it just such perfection and comes together so unexpectedly that you're just kind of stunned by it?
I have it almost constantly.
Okay. Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's way more to this than people seem to realize.
So let me tell you my experience. I feel that when I have a conversation, I've told you this many times before, with someone who is being authentic and open and transparent. And I feel that connection, and it's tricky because it could be other things going on. But when that happens, when I have this authentic, open, transparent conversation with someone who's not guarded with ego or stuff, I feel that opening. And then everything around me gets into focus and it feels miraculous. But the second I sense that someone else is guarded or something, I think my survival stuff kicks in. So I feel it when I'm alone, or I feel it when I'm in the presence of someone who, I guess you could say, is deeply present or something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And so the makes me religious is the just that realization of the difference between, as you say, when you're in the company of somebody who isn't present, or you're just going around in the regular world, and then that experience juxtaposed with the one of the so open and so present and so here, and where you go with that feels like a more spiritual connection.
Yes, it feels. I guess the psychological or more modern way of saying it is it feels like my nervous system is regulated and I am open and don't feel the need to contract anything. And then I have and I guess the religious part is I want more of that opening and less of the closing.
Yes.
And then that becomes a practice.
Yes, exactly so. Yes. So it's something when we say that, I mean, for me, it's, again, it's where something just comes together in a way. Now, it could be one of those conversations that you're referring to, but something just comes together in a way that is so out of the realm of the usual that it's just an immediate in touch with the deeply spiritual. And so to be in touch with the deeply spiritual, you know, we could say we would make a person religious.
Yes, and let me see if I'll try one more. Let me give this one more go. So, and then I'll stop because I know I could go on forever about this. But what you call normal or regular experiences, I think I'm conflating that with conditioned human life, which seems kind of boring. Conditioning gets boring because, you know, it's the same story, it's the same thing again and again, and it's never good, and it's never going anywhere good, and it always kind of predicts some kind of outcome or whatever. That's what I mean by, and it assumes it knows stuff, it doesn't know, all that. And then the other thing that's not that, the aliveness, the presence, the radiance, the freshness, that always feels spiritual. It always feels huge. And conditioning always feels small and contracted and tiny and annoying and just boring.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and so if to just use that language, you know, we could say that's what makes you a religious person.
Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, I think it means to reunite, I guess, with that one mind, with the big consciousness, the non-dual,
separate.
But non-separate.
Non-separate.
Yeah, non-separate. So nice to hear your voice.
Great to hear yours. I have to tell you, Gabriel, that in my contacts on my phone, for whatever reason, you are right next to Open Air. Now, go figure. So every Tuesday evening when I open, you know, when I go to Open Air, there you are. And this very evening, I thought, Gabriel, we haven't heard from Gabriel in forever. I wonder how he's doing. And here you are.
Well, I am doing great. I could not be doing any better because I'm here.
Exactly. What a really good point.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Go happy, Gabriel.
Thanks for joining us, Gabriel. And Gabriel, I cannot mute you. So if you could mute yourself or call back in, that would be fabulous.
You got it.
And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Okay. I was really practicing after the retreat and feeling the difference between presence and not, and then I got super identified, and it was like, oh, it's over, you know, your after retreat glow, and and so I'm just did some recording and saw so I'm just in that coming back, you know, and like anytime we go away, we'll come back, you know, just knowing that I will come back to presence because now I've been practicing it more.
Well, and here's the thing about that, Mary Jane. You knew what to do.
That's
you didn't
true.
Have to just wait around knowing that sooner or later you were going to come to, right? You knew what to do. So you picked up the recorder and you started making recordings, and here you are.
That's true. Yeah. And, yeah, and conditioning may say, oh, well, it took you time to get unstuck, but... yeah, I did know. I do know, and I do know to keep showing up to practice, and that, you know, sitting, I find sitting really helps a lot. I didn't realize how much it helps for me to make deep contact with myself.
Oh, God, let's just underline that one, okay? Because that's exactly it. There's so much, most people experience so much resistance to meditation. Until they get to that point that you've reached, where you realize that it is the deepest connection that you can have with yourself, that it's time for you to drop everything else and just be completely here, present with you.
Yeah.
That's just a critical understanding.
Yeah, and I made a recording even that said, whenever you get triggered, just... do some sits and groups and it'll pass, you know, and some recordings.
Yes, yes, exactly. And
it's
that
like
voice will say, well, you know, you couldn't do that immediately. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I couldn't, but it takes me a matter of minutes rather than a matter of lifetimes.
Yeah, and just seeing, I just want to name this process that I really saw in retreat that I thought, you know, sometimes I think when I see it once, then I've seen it, but that like, oh, I'm almost, you know, evolved, and then I'm not wise enough in my choices, so I end up back in the mix with humans and messiness.
Yes, exactly. Exactly so. And that's that thing, of course, that we talk about endlessly, which is because you haven't seen everything there is to see about it. Mm. You get to do it one more time. You know,
okay.
Why, if you want to get good at tennis, probably, you know, get the best coach you can get and have a lot of lessons and practice a lot. Because that's how you get good at it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just grateful. Thank you for open air. And I just told myself, just come to, you know, the New Year's retreat and just come to all the live meetups. You know, it's like a virtual meetup in a way. And trust myself that, like, when I get in it, I got out of it, and I will get out of it and to a different level. You know, who knows?
To a different level. That is exactly the case. And if a voice tries to talk you into, and you're in the same place again, because you make this, no, you're not. You're absolutely not in the same place again.
Okay.
Because
exactly,
you're a different person.
Oh, totally.
Everything else might look exactly the same, but you're a different person because, you know, it's like if you go to a play, you go once and you have the experience that you have. The second time, it's a very different experience because there
That's
are so
true.
Many things that you've seen, and now you're seeing things you didn't see the first time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Same with karma.
Yeah. Okay. Karma. Yeah, I should look at karma because that word itself is triggering. So I'll take a look at that. But just
well, you know, I think a simple way to think of it, the way I just used it, is it's just habit. It's unexamined habit.
And it's patterns, and old patterns that get us.
Old patterns, and we don't know where they came from. But we got them, and if we're not paying close attention, we're in them. If we are paying a little bit closer attention, we see them.
Yeah.
And the more we see them, the clearer they get, until finally, they can no longer hold together.
Okay.
Yeah, and the pattern just falls away because there's nothing maintaining it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's more, and for me, just coming back to being love, you know, whenever I get in that, because I can get just, I need to address this conditioning and that, and it's like, okay, come back to the light, feel the light you are, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if there's anything there to address, you'll know.
Exactly.
But trying to address things outside of the love and the light.
That's true. Yeah.
No, that's like adding glue to my pattern.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. Go happy.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let's try this again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Hey, April.
So what I was practicing today was being aware of awareness.
Oh.
You know, our little exercise that we did. And what I saw was heading to work, and my husband was very upset. We've had 100-degree weather for many days in a row here, and it's not producing enough hay and stuff to feed our animals. And there's a lot of worry and concern about that. And I just kept letting him vent, I guess, and noticing the strong feelings coming up in me, because, of course, I want him to be okay and I want our animals to be okay. And then I just watched myself as I was upset all day and thought, you know, I just tried to comfort myself, like, that's okay. You know, it's normal to be upset about something like this. And it's okay to feel like that. And it will pass. Like, the feelings will pass. Just be with them. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I left work, I felt so much better. And the crazy thing is I watched her because she was saying to herself, he's going to figure this out. He always does. And sure enough, you know, within 12 hours, he had found some more hay. He had decided to go on a hunting trip to help him with his stress, to do something outside, just go on a hike with his brother, just go outside. So he solved his own problem, but there was mm-hmm. that. I saw her being loving, you know, loving someone and being upset that they were upset.
Mm-hmm. Wanting to help, wanting to be different, wishing it could be different for him. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And is that just what you do? You just be with the person and tell her it's okay to feel upset and then the feelings go away?
Well, it was the same process, right?
Yeah.
You could see how to be with him, right? He
yeah.
was upset. He needed to express it. And you didn't have to argue with him. You didn't have to try to fix him. You didn't
yeah.
anything. You just had to be there and love him and probably do a lot of nodding your head and letting him feel that it's all right that he is having the experience that he's having, that you, whether you understand or not, you're there for him and you're loving him, right?
Yeah, and I did the same thing for myself, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
It seems so simple but so hard at the same time.
Well, it's hard because we're so conditioned not to do that. I mean, it's
yeah.
extraordinary that you could do that. It's extraordinary. Even for a person who could be there for her loved one, right? When it comes to her, then that's where the judgment is. Well, you should this and you should that, and why don't you do blah, 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 right? All the conditioned reactions. And so
yeah.
to be able to say, yeah, I want to be that way for him, I want to be that way for her.
Yeah, I just went outside
exactly.
and did that little exercise that we did. Be aware of the awareness of your,
mm-hmm.
you know, the
yeah,
wind.
Don't give it away too much, of course,
oh, okay.
because we might
okay.
want to pull that on somebody else at some point.
Oh,
but
okay.
yes. Well, you did what you knew to do, and it's interesting. You knew he needed to be outside. Right? He
yes.
needed to go get with nature. Get out of your head and get with nature.
Yeah,
you
and he did it himself. He fixed it himself. You know,
yes,
he didn't have
exactly.
to fix it.
Well, and yeah, and you know, very often, you've probably noticed, when we're upset, we actually don't want somebody else to fix it for us. Right? We
right.
want somebody to understand that we're upset and have it
yes.
feel right that we're upset. Yeah, and
yes.
so you did that with yourself. And the only reason it seems hard is because you're not that practiced with it, right?
Yeah.
The more you do it, the easier it'll, because as you say, it's incredibly simple. It's being all right with somebody as they are. That's not hard, right? Except that we're deeply trained not to.
Yeah, and usually I absorb those feelings and I would be upset for like a week or
yeah.
more. And instead it's
yeah.
it took 8 hours. It took 8 to 10 hours, but that's better than 2 weeks of being upset.
Exactly so. And the thing that the way that you're articulating it, April, is really critical because she was upset.
Yeah.
Right, she was upset, and in 8 to 10 hours of you being there and allowing her to feel the way she felt, it passed by.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
And so if that hadn't been the case, then you would have been upset for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm learning,
right?
through this whole process, I'm learning to trust myself and trust life.
Mm-hmm.
because I just kept saying, you know, like last week, someone was talking about going through some kind of cancer treatment and saying, well, what if it turns out good? And I kept saying that too, like, well, what if this is a good thing? What if something, a good benefit comes out of this?
And I would say, April, it already has.
What's that? Right? I guess that I'm getting better at handling emotions?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. That you could be there for your husband. You could be there for you. And
yeah.
You could be in loving kindness for both of you. I would say that's a heck of an outcome.
That really is, actually, considering where I've come from quite a
mm-hmm.
few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, you are so very welcome.
Okay.
Go happy.
Go happy. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, April. And, April, I think you dropped off, so that's great. And, Sherry, let's go to Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
That sounds great. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Sherry, I am not seeing our Good News guest was there and now is not. So I'm wondering if we want to take another caller while we...
Sure. That's fine, Michael. While you look for people? Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, great. Let me find the next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, hold on 1 second. Wow, boy, this is really loud because somehow it went on speaker and I didn't hear it come off of the thing. It's nice to hear you. It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you. What have you been up to?
Well, summer is going well. Practice.
Very quickly.
Yes, very quickly. In the 13 years that I've been meditating with everybody, this past winter through spring, I had my first period of inconsistent meditation where I wasn't doing it as much as I was. But I was still amazed during that time of my level of awareness. And I just wanted to speak a little bit on karma. I think you have an expression that was in the monastery that's up on the fridge at your place there in Squim. And it talks about karma being the incessant pushing towards a world that is always known.
Hmm. Okay. There's another one that says toward what you think you deserve or what you believe you deserve.
Maybe that was it. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Either one in a way is a little bit tragic in regards to the fact that I just noticed that there is just always such an argument for what is known with my conditioning, not what is best for me. Not what is right or wrong, but just what is familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So it's a perfect description of karma, or we could say of ego.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wants to keep everything small, known, familiar, so that it can always be right. Be in control, be in charge. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the awareness of how it goes from one piece of content to another. I'm even watching it tonight. I'm like, okay, you're not going to get me into a conversation about this one piece of content. Then I notice it moves right onto the next one.
Right. You don't want to talk about that? How about this piece of content?
Yeah, why not do this?
How about this thing that'll make you unhappy?
If you're not going to do this, which isn't good for you, why don't you have a treat,
Uh-huh.
And if it can't get me with the first two, then the third is always staying up too late. So I know them all. And yet at the same time, the pull is, you know, it it's there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, which is a really interesting place in practice, because the pull will be there as long as we are willing to be pulled.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way to break through the illusion of the ego is not to do something that reinforces the identity.
Yeah, exactly so. And it's, I'm sure we've talked about this, because anybody with kids, sooner or later I'm going to talk about this with them. But, you know, kids will, I want, until you are absolutely crystal clear, no is the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes away.
Yeah.
But as long as there's a chance, and that's exactly what ego is. So it's, and if the random reinforcement, you know, 13 years, it's still, they're tapping at the door saying, yeah, but what about?
Oh, yeah.
What about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until we get to the point of no. No, the answer is no.
Well, it's amazing, because what came up for me on my meditation timer is it said, like, welcome back. You've had like 3,680 meditation sessions. And I was like, wow, that's kind of something. So, like, I've been doing it despite what ego tells me, you know. So anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Well, and it really is, Brad, one of those good to see places. Because it's the, you know, the doing the same thing over and over and hoping for a different result. And we know where that leads us. And it's like that, you know, it's just when we get to that point, the brushing our teeth point with practice, then it's, this is what I do.
Yeah.
This is what I do. It doesn't matter if I feel like it or I don't want to, or what the voice is whining about. It doesn't matter. This is what I do.
Yeah, someone that's a spiritual teacher said, I'm not having that conversation.
That's right. I don't know who that was. I can't imagine who said something like that. Yeah. We are just not having that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no negotiation here, you know.
That's right.
What they call the non-negotiables, sure. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it was great talking to you. I just wanted to say hi. It's been a while since I've had a chance not to have my kids to call in on a Tuesday night. So.
All right. And they're doing well? They're loving summer?
Yeah, maybe we'll chat on a private call here and there, a few issues here and there. But, you know, they're doing okay. Yeah. Having a nice summer.
Yeah, yeah, given that you're the parent and they're the kids, all is going well.
Oh, yeah, there's bumps in the road, but, you know, there's bumps in the road.
And,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, and the parents and kids, that's kind of how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, good talking to you.
Go happy.
Take care. Go happy. Gusho.
Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And, Jerry, let's see if we can get our...
Let's see who we've got.
Yeah, I see our guest here, so let's go with that, and then I'll come back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. And, Jen, your guest is now live, so I'll turn it over to you for Good News Update.
Excellent. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Lucinda, who is here to speak with us about not going on retreat. Welcome, Lucinda.
Hi, Jen. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So tell us more about the adventures of not going on retreat.
Yeah. So I signed up, you know, in a timely fashion for the retreat. I'm so excited. Getting the emails, preparation, bring this, don't bring that. And then on July 6th, I fell off my bike. And I broke my elbow. And the following week, it never occurred to me, like, maybe I can't go on retreat. I just thought, oh, a sling and I won't be able to use it. Well, it turns out I needed surgery. Mm. So I had surgery, not a big, you know, I live in a very sports-centric place. Mm. and mm-hmm. we have fabulous orthopedic doctors. Mm-hmm. So in their world, not a big deal. Oh, right. We'll just do this thing and fix it right up. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had surgery on the 15th. And at that point, it was a couple days before that, I thought, you know, I probably am not going to be able to go on retreat. Mm. What I noticed was a huge shift in my orientation to my life. Mm. And it was, in essence, it was, I'm having the experience I should be having. This is what is, you know,
wow.
Undeniably no retreat, undeniably yeah. focus on the body,
yeah.
Rest. And yeah. so during my convalescence, I guess you could call it, all was well with the surgery. I didn't even see the guy again until today. So, you know, it's like they go and do however many other surgeries and then they see you afterwards going, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started, it was only 3 days between the surgery and the start of the retreat. Mm-hmm. And I followed along with the group. And yep. it was so, so beneficial.
And
it
so
was
let me just
fabulous.
Make sure, Lucinda, so folks understand what you're pointing at there. So first of all, I just have to go back to that profound shift into this is the perfect experience. This is what is. This is what's happening. And just the way you described it, I could feel that just dropping into, I mean, acceptance is the word that comes in for me. Although that's interesting, isn't it? Because it's almost like it just is what is. And that there is no parallel reality where you're going on retreat. You're not going on retreat. Mm-hmm. You're home with this post-surgery elbow, and that practice was able to send you the recordings so that you were following along with the retreat. And that's the piece that you're pointing out was so helpful.
So helpful. Mm. Because it supported that healing.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't, my mind wasn't divided, you know, day-to-day life and now retreat. I'm lying on the floor. You know, on my little heating mat and listening to just such love.
Wow.
It just was, it was fantastic. Now, today I have the stitches out and I felt the attempt to switch back to, okay, I got this to do and I got that to do and I have to return that call and okay, I'm all right now. I got the stitches out. I'll have PT, yada, yada. Let's move along, you know.
Completely.
And start letting go of that beautiful healing space, which I don't want to let go of.
Truly.
Yeah.
I mean, what's so funny about that, Lucinda, is you're right on track with you went on retreat. You literally went on retreat, as did whoever else went on retreat. And now that retreat is over and everyone's having the experience you're describing, right? Which is that,
right.
And what a few other callers have pointed at this evening is that, like, okay, great. That was fine. You had your little retreat, but I've got you now. Now you need to be back on my program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we have this to do and do, and pretty soon we're going to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost like I do some artwork. It's almost a visual. I mean, it's such an identifiable physical experience.
Mm.
that I could almost do a painting of what it feels like, even in the transition, and feeling the choice.
Wow.
Here's two roads, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because as we're having this conversation and you described, you know, not being on retreat, but being on retreat, it's like truly everything is retreat in the sense of, you know, we always talk about using everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And so in that sense, everything is a retreat. Each, whatever it is that we're, whatever is here right now. This is the retreat that I'm in right now when we bring that level of presence to it that you're describing.
I just love the awareness of that in every moment.
Yeah.
Something that really struck me profoundly of the retreat was hearing what acceptance sounds like. And so I guess it's about acceptance.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like when my internet just went out as I was supposed to be on Good News. And I'm sure Michael's going, huh, where did she go? But the internet went out. So I went,
funny.
Huh. And now I'm separated from my notes that I took so I wouldn't ramble.
Oh, I love it.
And yeah.
That is absolutely perfect and beautiful.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And I love you modeled it so beautifully. Oh, huh. And the internet didn't go out. I love that it didn't go out like right at the beginning of the show. It went out when it was time for Good News.
Yes.
That's
4 minutes before
4 minutes.
The half hour. So, yes.
And you're exactly right that Michael did. He said, okay, well, we're off for Good News. And then he said, he came back on and said, oh, well, actually, I can't find our Good News.
Exactly. I knew he's an expert. So it would
and
be all handled.
Everyone on the call.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, yes.
That's so beautiful about spending time with Sangha. I mean, it's true with everyone in our life, of course, but it's just so relaxing and easy with Sangha because what we know is we're all here for the same reason, which is to just watch all of it and how relaxing that is.
So relaxing.
Yeah.
So relaxing. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lucinda.
Thank you so much for the wonderful experience.
Exactly. What a wonderful, perfect experience. And may we realize that that is every moment of life.
Yes. May that be so. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lucinda. And thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And now we know
about that, huh? Yeah. You know, that whole conversation at the end of it, on Sunday, that day before yesterday, we had I think it's the third of the Zen Cooks workshops.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I tried to articulate this at the end of it. I don't know how well I did, but it is such an experience of loving kindness, such kind, caring, gentle, polite, sensitive people, right? All together doing this thing, right? And when Lucinda was talking about that, that was my feeling with the retreat as well. You know, our Sangha is so kind, and I just love that knowing that there was somebody who couldn't be with us, who was still being with us, and could feel included and welcomed into that. That just kind and loving Sangha experience. So I'm glad. It was wonderful to hear that.
Yes, yes, fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Kim of Anaheim.
Hey, Kim, did you say?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Hi, Sherry. Hi. So I just wanted to ask because we last spoke and I had a really good chuckle about how, you know, now that, ego's going to try to kill me as I'm, you know, kind of putting it out of its place. And I don't know. I guess I wanted to ask, but I'm not sure how to word it, but it's just really, there's some scary behavior sometimes, like self-harm, and I'm, it's never been a habitual thing, but there was an incident, like, right before I went on retreat last year, and then just the other day, and it's, so I don't know, just any thoughts you have on how to practice to really avoid that and not get so, let it be so scary.
Ah, and how did it, do you mind telling us how it came to you, how it arose for you, or, you know, what you heard or what the thoughts were or that sort of thing?
Well, the common thread is that there's usually like an interpersonal mess going on with my partner. So the thought is just like everything's ruined, you know, just kind of despair. I can't believe, you know, a bunch of self-hate nastiness. And then in this case, there was also a phone call that triggered a whole bunch of other self-hate about neglecting an important relationship. So there's like, I don't know if any of this is helpful. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And then what does the boy say? So you should throw yourself off of the building? Or?
Yeah, no, just like, just get this knife, like, you know, like... Or, like, yeah, just at that point, like, I just started bashing my head against the headboard, and my poor husband had to, like, put a pillow there. Like I guess basically like a tantrum or something, you know, because he's just like, please stop doing that, you know. And I'm just like, oh, like, immediately come to and be like, I'm so sorry to have to, like, to act like that and how scary that must be, you know, so.
Yeah, it felt like, for that little period of time, you actually weren't there.
No, yeah,
right?
It doesn't. Yeah.
It's, and you kind of came.
I'm not going to be ignored, you know, is what I like. It seems like is, you know, something like that. Very ferocious.
Is the message that it's your fault, that what's happening is your fault, and that you need to be punished, or?
I'm not sure. Like, it seems just, I think so. I think it's something like, you know, just don't, like, we just don't do that. We just can't act that way. And, like, you just know so much better and, like, all that kind of stuff. And like, why did you cancel last week's therapy session? And it's not working and blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just, it's really, it's proof that I really am. There's something wrong with me. Like, who acts like that? Yeah.
Right. And, well, okay. So, you know, you teed this up pretty perfectly, right? You recognize that you are in kind of a, well, not kind of a, you are in a serious battle with ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know that what you're working very hard at is stopping ego from having control over your life. And,
yes.
Of course, you know that ego is not excited about that. So it gets really intense in the battle, right? And sometimes, I'm guessing, you come out on top. For instance,
yes.
You made it to that retreat last year, right? And I'm sure ego was not enthusiastic about that. So sometimes you come out on top, and sometimes I would guess, I don't know this, obviously, but I would guess it's because when the content is something that is particularly triggering for you, then ego can get the upper hand. Does that seem so?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it gets me to speak in ways that, like, now trigger, you know, maybe my partner or, like, someone precious to me, then like, yeah, it's going to.
Yeah, that's right.
Hideous.
That's right. Yeah. And so it wins really big, right? In that. So you did this behavior that you shouldn't have done, that you don't want to do. It made you do it, basically. So it won that. And you are really one down at that point, right? And feeling really bad and, yeah, the helpless, despairing, hopeless kinds of messages just flood in, right? Because there's an opening, and that's how you're controlled. And then, of course, then the kinds of things that you said just a second ago, you know, why did you miss that therapy appointment? What's wrong with you? Why do you act this way? Why do you say these things? What's the matter with you? There really is something wrong with you, right? And there's just this giant piling on until, I'm guessing, you get to the point where it's basically done its worst, and you kind of start coming out the other side of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is when you call in here.
Well, yeah, and also because there's an alarm. Like, I mean, it keeps trying to get me worried about this. Like, the way I still feel like something wrong. Like even though there's so much yoga and, like, you know, listening to Sangha and, like, recording and listening and all the things that usually are so, you know, comforting and delightful, and there's still this, like, feeling in my chest that seems like a problem, you know.
And that's what leads to, why don't you pick up a knife and do something to yourself?
Well, no, it'll be like in the heat of the moment. Like, it's like I'm supposed to be responding differently, and then now I'm feeling like yeah, usually like very alone, you know, like maybe someone else has said something that, like, now they're not really on my side and or something, and I guess, like, ego's getting me with, like, this was going to happen. You see, you're going to alienate everyone because the rage is going to keep coming out. He's not going to keep putting up with this, and then what are you going to do? And, like, basically scaring me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and the awful part of it is it puts you in a rage, right, and then beats you for having done what it talked you into.
Yeah.
That's the damnable part of it, you know. I mean, it's playing, ego is playing every role in that. Yeah, it is. And of course, the all you've got, Kim, all any of us has, is not listening to and believing the voices. That's it. We don't have anything else going for us. Because we can't control, we can't control life circumstances. We can't control what other people do or how they feel or what they think or anything else, right? And so the only, in quotes, control that we have is not listening to those voices that in this case, are doing what they're doing to you.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I just wanted to connect it up with something you said a minute ago, because it sounds like you do very clearly know your way out of this, right? You do the recordings, you do yoga, you listen to groups from Sangha, and, you know, you turn your attention away from those hateful voices, get your attention back here to the moment, and you're okay. And then, of course, they're going to start in again, trying to get your attention, trying to pull you in, trying to say things that will upset you, trying to make you believe things that aren't true until, you know, at some point we get hooked. Mm-hmm. Does that seem so?
Yes. Yeah. It does. it's dropping in sometimes too. Maybe I should write them all down, like just write all the thoughts. Like anytime I catch one that's like, oh, it's fishy, or the other thing that drops in is like listening to reassurances all the time. But I've always set myself up to have headphone drama. Like out of several pairs, I just don't have one that works with my recorder right now, which is changeable, right? But I don't. Yeah, I get distracted. Yeah, left and right.
And so that's what feels like happens to you. You're on a good trajectory, you know, kind of on an even keel, and then something happens that sets you off, and there's that little opening. And so, yes, so I don't know if we've talked about this, but one of my favorite exercises is you hear an ego voice, and you say into your, you write it down, first of all, you write down what it says, and after it, you write, that's a lie. The truth of the matter is, and then you write what you know to be true. And you record those so that each one of the messages from those hateful voices is recorded as a lie. And it's followed by what is actually true.
Yeah.
And you know, yes. Kim, those voices only say so many things.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh.
Right? But it's not like they have an endless repertoire. So it would absolutely be possible to get them all down, get them all recorded, so that when one comes up, it really triggers you. All right, that's a lie. And what will also get triggered is what you know to be true. So you're retraining yourself from just listening to those hateful voices and then going down the track they want you to go down. You're going to actually go down a completely different track away from them.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think that, I know, it's ego asking. It's just like, but are you sure there aren't some people that just, like, they shouldn't, like, because, I don't know. I did Landmark Forum, and then I had, like, kind of a mental breakdown, like, many years ago. And then in the fine print, it's not for people like me, I guess. Like,
So you, I didn't quite follow that. You had a mental breakdown years ago, and then what do the voices tell you about that?
Well, that if I had read, like, about it accurately, then it maybe would have known to avoid. I don't know. Actually, it tells me all kinds of things about it because, I think I
wish all kinds of things, all kinds of things which you do not want to believe, right?
No.
Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but I had one of those too. I had a really big one. I had a really big, serious one that wound up with a bullet going through me, right? And I don't, you know. Such a funny thing to say, but it's true. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, right? It's the best thing that ever happened to me because it was a break from trying to essentially live up to what those voices were saying I should do and who I should be and how I should, right? And that's when that surgeon told me that nobody should live through what I just lived through and I better figure out what I was doing here. And what I concluded from that is the one thing I've never tried doing in my whole life is being happy. I've never focused on being happy. I focused on being good. I focused on trying to be the right person. I focused on feeling guilty for not being. All kind of things I focused on, but not being happy. So the fact that you had a breakdown is not, in my world, it's not a negative. Because it's a break from how you were and has opened you up to a whole new world of possibilities. This practice being one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, okay.
And you know, Kim, it really is a matter of staying close. So many people have talked about that lately. And it's really true. You know, you're doing the things. You know, you're doing the yoga. You're listening to recordings. You're making recordings and listening to them. You're doing the practice. You just want to do it more so that, it, you know, your whole world moves from that hatefulness and access by that hatefulness or whatever it is, you know, the hatefulness having access to you, so that your attention is so focused on being present and taking care of yourself that there's just no room for that. And it is possible. It is absolutely possible.
Yeah, thanks for saying. I know it is. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so it's just keep doing the same thing you're doing more.
Okay.
Stay in touch.
So busy paying attention and practicing, it just can't really get a word in. And then when it does, I notice it's weakening.
Exactly. Exactly. Just exactly like that. In fact, when it gets a word in, it's so glaring because it's ugly and it doesn't belong there. It's just mm-hmm. it's almost shocking. And you just quickly turn away and just, oh, God, I don't want to give that any attention. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
Thanks for having that show.
Okay. Take care. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Kim and Sherry. That was incredibly inspiring conversation. Just fabulous. Mm.
Good, good, good.
So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for all of this, Michael. And good Lord willing, we'll do it again next week, huh?
I look forward to it. Go happy.
Okay, me too. Go happy.